This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run, a weekly take on everything property related. Are you considering to rent out your vacant property? Renting is a trend that is gaining interest and is becoming a viable alternative to address the issue of unaffordable homes in Malaysia. The question is, are landlords aware of the risk that comes with renting out properties? The Residential Tenancy Act will only be implemented in 2021, which is aimed at determining the affordable rental rate based on location, as well as laws to protect both tenants and owners. In the meantime, how do you protect yourself and your property against errant tenants, for an example like improper use of property? To share some insights on the subject of fraudulent rental applications is Mark Vaughan Grundher, the Director of Benham and Reeves. Mark, thank you for joining us on The Property Show.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
So, Mark, can you help us understand what is fraudulent rental application and why does it occur?
So, in terms of what a fraudulent application is, or fraudulent applicant ends up being, is when they rent, that person is going to either rent it and they have no intention of paying the rent because they just want to get into the property and do whatever they want with it for as long as they possibly can, and that they could use it just to let it to somebody else for more money. So if they rent it from an owner for X amount and then they can let it to people coming to London or KL on holiday, they can make extra money, or they can rent it to people that are traveling, maybe people on business, and make a profit on the rental. That's, in the UK, we call that term subletting. So there are those kind of people. The really big worrying one is if they do it because they want to do some kind of immoral purpose, or there's some, you know, alternative purpose that they're thinking about, whether it's drugs or prostitution or something really serious. And of course, the problem for the owner is not only do they have these terrible tenants and they end up with potentially no rent, lots of damage, but then if it's immoral, then the police could get involved and then who knows what could happen. So it is a big, big, big problem, and you just have to really do whatever you can to protect yourself.
So, Mark, do you have the statistics of a specific types of group that are prone to commit these sort of activities?
Actually, there's no real demographic. It's, you know, it's like asking who the demographic of a criminal is. There obviously isn't one per se. Generally, what we've seen in London, where obviously the reason, you know, we're based in London, and the reason I use London as a good example is because it will be the worst example, because obviously property prices here are incredibly high. Rentals are high, the potential hotel rooms are very high, so if they're doing short letting, the hotel rooms are high, so the value is very high. So there will be more focus on it because it's a good place to make money. But equally, KL is expensive, especially for Malaysia, it's an expensive place, and so therefore there's a lot of money people can make. But if you look at the demographic, there isn't really a specific demographic. You get people who do it as long as in their 20s up to, you know, there was one in London recently where the man was in his 60s. So I don't think there's any stereotypical person who's going to do this. In terms of nationality they come from, again, there isn't a specific nationality that these kind of people. So it's not easy to say it's going to be someone who's 30 coming from the UK. You wouldn't be able to. Break it down that easily, and it's not like you know who they are. They don't wear a red hat or anything, so you know, sure, that they're going to be this kind of person. They are very, 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 you know, come across as normal people, and they have very clever ways of shielding what their ultimate intentions are. And you know, many, many, many people get hoodwinked and lose a lot of money. Turning to the demographic, there isn't a specific demographic there to rely on.
So you have some knowledge on rental applications in Malaysia. How vulnerable do you think we are with regards to fraudulent rental applications?
I know Malaysia very well. I personally, we have an office in KL and who look after owners there who own property in London. But myself, about 10 years ago, I bought a flat in KL and it was in Monkiara. It was for investment. I was a non-resident landlord, so I didn't live in the area. I never saw the property. I bought it as an investment. And the way that referencing of who the tenant is works in Malaysia at the time was ridiculous. I mean, frankly, I was shocked, but I spoke to a lot of our clients because we have a lot of clients based, and they tell me that's the way. The agent rang me. They told me, this is the rent. The person's name is this. I'll send you a copy of the passport. And that person moved in. I mean, I was lucky. He did pay the rent.
Right.
I was saying, but don't I get any references? He said, no, that's not normal practice. I don't know if that's the case, but many of our clients say, no, it is the practice. You just see somebody get their passport, and it's usually all right. And in London, we definitely don't do that. We as a business go to the other extreme. But you look at the problems that something so simple at the beginning can give you. It's like a marriage, right? It's all wonderful at the beginning, but if things go wrong and there's a divorce, it's absolutely hideous. We see that with property.
So you've shared how this could affect an individual, but could it escalate to the point where it could affect the property industry?
Well, look, I'm not saying this is a huge part of the UK rental market, and I'm not saying that millions, you know, you have a 1 in 5 chance of it happening to you. You don't. You have a low chance of it happening.
Yeah.
But if it happens, the consequences can be catastrophic. So, you know, where I look at this, I'll give you some quite interesting statistics. As a business, Benham & Reeves, we let about 3,000 properties in London a year. So we're reasonably large. We let a lot for Malaysian owners. We rent them in London for them, and we look after, and we're their eyes and ears. I'd say 50% of our Malaysian owners, they've never even seen the property in London because it's an investment. And so we have to make sure that the tenant we're putting in there is good. So we go to extraordinary lengths to check who the tenants are. And this is when I look at statistics. From our own research, there's been a jump in fraud applications over the last year. For example, in 2018, we were seeing 6 fraudulent applications every month. Up till the end of June 2019, that number has jumped to an average of 13. That's 117% increase in fraudulent applications. And when I say fraudulent applications, I don't just mean crooks. I mean they could be saying they earn, you know, they earn X amount of money, but actually they don't earn that. And so they're giving a fraudulent application because they won't be able to afford the rent. And maybe they're not going to be crooks. But you don't want a tenant. Nobody wants a tenant living in their property who can't afford to rent. So that's the first statistic, if you look at that, the jump in fraudulent applications. Where it becomes really scary is it's not just, you know, when we look at fraudulent applications, we look at bank statements and things like that. But actually, it's passports now. And everybody thinks my passport is gold. You know, it's very hard to forge them. When I'm saying a forged passport, in the UK, we physically see people's passports. And I don't know. I couldn't tell you the difference unless someone had made it at home between a real passport and a fraudulent passport.
Right.
So we run them through a checking service. And in 2018, we had 5 fake passports. So that's not too bad. One every other month. Still quite a lot, but one every other month. The first 6 months of this year, we've had 14. 14. That's 100. That on a yearly basis, if it continues, that would be 28.
Yeah.
That will be 300% increase.
Can you help us put into context on this issue? How catastrophic can it be?
So obviously, in the UK, if you look at what happens if everything goes wrong, and you don't, you do manage to get a really, you know, bad tenant, we look at the cost that it'll cost you to get them out. So you would end up with no rent because they wouldn't pay you rent. And it could take you 9 months, or if not longer, to get them out. You could then have any damage they have, because often they don't treat your property very well. So you might need new furniture. In the UK, a lot of properties are furnished. Again, that's slightly different to Malaysia, but there's a furnishing cost. They sometimes steal the appliances. They sometimes just break things. They ruin your carpets, ruin your floors. They might ruin your bathroom. And when you add those costs up with the legal fees, noting that as a purchaser, if you've got finance, you're having to still pay your mortgage. You know, if we looked at the average that of a value of property, then the average cost we've calculated comes to just under £50,000 to as your cost of getting them out and putting yourself back in the same position you were before you rented to this person. And if you take it in the most expensive part of London, Kensington and Chelsea, then a rogue tenant who gives you who causes this amount of damage could cost you £90,000.
And if you were to put that side by side with the amount of rent that they collected, I mean, what is the percentage that we're looking at?
So if we look at the amount of rent, if you look at the average rent in London, in London, the average rent, you know, for London would be this is just an average figure, is £1,700 per month. So over a year, it's about £20,000 a year. So 9 months rent, they're losing £15,000. And then we look at the average cost of a kitchen of £8,000, bathroom £5,000. There's legal costs that you have to pay £3,000. There's damage to other things like flooring and carpets and decorating. And when you add that up, it's, you know, as I said, the potential loss to a landlord on a London property is £48,000. And I think that, okay, you know, if I take the most expensive parts of London, it's going to be higher. But even if you look at the UK, it's the UK average, that's up and down the UK, is £32,000. And so it means that this is a significant sum of money. You know, you're talking and you have to pay that out of your own pocket.
Absolutely.
So if you have this as an investment and you've suddenly got to start paying out money, it's really, it's a very big risk.
It's important to get this right. So in the meantime, please stay on the line with us, Mark, as we'll have more on The Property Show after these messages. So please stay with us on BFM 89.9. If you just joined us, this is The Property Show. I'm Shahid Abdullah, and I'm speaking to Mark Von Grunter, the director of Benham & Reeves. Today, I speak to Mark about fraudulent rental applications. So, Mark, which law in the UK that looks into this matter, and in what way does it protect the landlord from this mishap?
So there is a law in the UK that governs a lot of residential property. It's the 1988 Landlord and Tenant Housing Act. But this really only gives the landlord the route to evict the tenant. So that's whether the tenant isn't paying the rent, or you want the property back for your own use, or you just don't want to rent it anymore. It's just a route and saying this is what you have to do to get to court to get your property back. This is not a law, you know, protecting landlords against fraud and crooks.
Right.
In the UK, it is. You know, unfortunately, our court system are quite busy. And so if you need to evict a tenant, the process is not terribly long, but it is quite long. I mean, in the UK, the law is very transparent. You own the property. It's in your own name. No one can ever take the property away from you. That's fantastic. But if you do have a problem or you want to get it back, the system can be slightly slower, and obviously you have to pay legal fees to do that if you don't want to do it yourself, and I would never recommend anybody does it themselves in case they get it wrong.
Sure.
But so the law is not there, and that's one of the biggest issues that we as a company and many others in the industry have been looking at is, you know, it's all very well protecting the tenant, because the tenant is obviously the weaker person in this relationship, generally viewed as the weaker person in the relationship between a landlord and tenant, because they don't own the property, they're paying the rent. But actually, so you don't want a landlord to go in and just throw them out on the street, and you want to give them protection. But on the reverse of that, if you own the property and you want it back because you're going to sell it or you're going to move into it, then there needs to be a clear route to get it back. And I think the route we have at the moment is slow and it's not very it can be perverted by someone who knows what they're doing. So my view is actually we should, and if the Malaysian government are listening or someone that's listening who's actually doing yours, I think you need a housing court. And, you know, because property has a high value,
mm-hmm.
They can make separate charges. I don't think anybody would mind in the UK if the charge to go straight to a housing court was an application was that little bit higher. You know, and you could go to court and say, my tenant hasn't paid rent for 3 months. I want my property back. They hear the tenant's other side, and if the tenant doesn't pay, because this is money that's owed, then I think the court should give immediate eviction and the tenant should be removed very quickly, even if it's within 2 weeks. But I think if Malaysia are going to really do a job, they should set the benchmark for the future for everybody on what should happen. And I think it would make a huge difference.
I was just about to ask, besides the law, is there other sort of agency or, you know, avenues that landlords could go to help resolve this issue at the moment?
Absolutely not. The only thing a landlord can do when they find out is go to a lawyer and take them to court.
Okay. Let's talk about your company. So Benham and Reeves, what sort of services do you provide with regards to, you know, helping out to resolve issues such as this?
So we're a full-service, one-stop shop. We developed the business. We've been going now for 60 years. As I said, we let 3,000 properties a year, most of which we manage. And I'd say 70% of our clients are overseas, whether they're in Hong Kong, Singapore, China now, India and Malaysia. We have a very large office in KL that looks after Malaysian people. So we understand those clients are based where, you know, my client is based in KL. He doesn't come to London very often. Maybe his child was at university here and he needs someone to look after it. And so the onus, we feel, and we're different from a lot of agents, we feel, you know, a sense of responsibility for what we do. We're not just here to take our clients' money. We're here to, obviously, to make a profit because that's why we're in business, but actually to look after that client's business because he may own a 3 million ringgit property, a 10 million ringgit property, and we need to make sure that property's looked after. And given the fact it's rented out, we need to make sure that tenant's very good. So what we use is we are very, very strict in the referencing we do. So that means, as I said, passports we have to see. That's the law. We see the passport anywhere and check the visa. But we run that passport through a passport checking service that actually identifies if it's a real passport, if that person's allowed to be in the UK, and if there's any inconsistencies, we stop that. We take bank statements, and we don't just take them, we look at them. And as I said, we get a large number of fraudulent bank statements. You know, sometimes of the year is worse than others. And that's checking that they are real bank statements. They say they're employed by this company. We cross-check. Is it from a Gmail? You know, someone that says I work for a large Petronas, for argument's sake, if the email from Human Resources is coming from mark@gmail.com, then you know that's strange because it would come from a Petronas email. Things like this is where the devil is in the detail to check that's correct. And for, you know, £50, which is what other agents charge, and some of the referencing is not as good as it could be, for us, we don't charge because I think it's part of our service and we take responsibility and we go to those lengths. And so I don't need to say to my landlord, you make the choice. Do you want to do the references or you don't? We just do it as part of our service.
Okay, Mark. Maybe just one last question before we end our conversation today. Now, there's been a lot of prop tech or prop technology out, the property technology out there, where we include website which provides services, including services for homeowners to rent directly to applicants. Do you think that technology has a role with reducing the risk of fraudulent rental application?
So it's very interesting. And in the UK, it's a very big market as well with the online market. But the reality is if it's all done on computer, it's very, very, very difficult to cross-check things. It isn't. At the moment, we would never do it online. They have something called open banking, which is coming here, where you can do a reference and look at all of someone's banking. The reality is, you know, someone coming from overseas is not going to have that. So my view is right now, it's absolutely not enough. It's
okay
until such time as it can be proven, unless they're willing to guarantee it. And no prop tech company is going to guarantee to the owner it's going to be fine.
Okay. Well, Mark, on that note, you've been listening to The Property Show. And Mark, thanks for joining us today. I've been speaking to Mark Von Grundherr, the director of Benham & Reeves, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.